We're in Luke chapter 8 again today. Have you ever faced a test at work or in school, but you did not realize that it was a test? Maybe the boss set up a problem and didn't tell you it was a test of your knowledge or skill, but wanted to know if you'd been paying attention. Or maybe a clever school teacher asked questions that didn't really sound like a test, but revealed whether or not the class had been paying attention. Well, Jesus occasionally designed such tests for his disciples. Or at least he allowed them to happen. And we're going to read about one of those tests today in Luke chapter 8. And a storm suddenly happened. Just all of a sudden, there was a storm. The disciples, probably the 12, freaked out. They panicked. Their fear caused them to panic. Now, Jesus took care of the problem. And then he asked them one simple question. This might seem like a random event in a chain of stories, but it is not random. Four times earlier in this chapter, Luke has quoted Jesus stressing how important it is to listen to his teaching, to understand it, and to do it. He who has ears, let him hear. Pastor Tim preached that last week, highlighted this very principle, to listen, to hear. Look at verse 8, chapter 8, verse 8. This is right at the end of the parable of the soils. In the middle of that verse, it says, after he had told the parable, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Sounds like an easy enough statement. If you have ears, listen. Jesus told the parable of the sower to the crowd, and he ended with that statement. And he explained the parable to the disciples, but within hearing of the whole crowd. Listen, hear. Look at verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who heard the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So as he was explaining the parable of the soils, or the parable of the sower, you remember there were four kinds of soil. There's the hard ground, the rocky ground, the weedy ground, and the good soil. And he's explaining that last bit about the good soil. He said, the good soil are those who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, by doing, produce a crop. Look down at verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. Think about how you're listening to God's word. Whoever understands and obeys will see more of God's work. They will see deeper what God is doing in the world. They will experience the grace and the power of God in bigger ways. Those who do not pay attention will let it slide away. They do not practice. They don't take part. And they lose whatever they think they had. Look down at verse 21. My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. There among the crowds, people said to Jesus, "Hey, your mother and your brothers are outside the crowd. They can't get in to see you, but they want to see you." And he said, "My mother and brothers are the ones who hear the word of God and put it into practice." Again, Pastor Tim preached on that last week, stressing the importance of hearing the word of God. And I hope you dwell on these things. I mull it over. Let it simmer. Chew on it. Hear, listen, and do. And what we're about to read, just four little verses about a storm. This storm happened in the context of doing ministry. The disciples were not running from Jesus. They were not sinning or disobeying Jesus. They were following Jesus. They had seen huge miracles. They had seen small miracles. They had heard big teaching, big wins. And they were continuing to follow their Lord. This storm was not punishment. It was not judgment on them. It was not a storm of their making. It just happened in the middle of people doing good. It was an uninvited storm threatening good people. Now, Luke did not give us a very specific clue about when exactly this happened. Just in the ever-expanding experience of the disciples, he said one day, verse 22, one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he, meaning Jesus, fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him up saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Such a short description of a storm, and yet it's so vivid. And I love the way it starts. Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." So they got in the boat. Let's go to the other side of the lake. They obeyed. Situation normal. They got into the boat, set out. For they were obedient. There's no weather report. Would have seemed fairly routine to Galilee fishermen. And Jesus took a nap. Mark's gospel said Jesus went to the back of the boat and went to sleep on a cushion. And then a squall came down on the lake. A squall is a sudden, maybe violent storm. The waves were crashing against the boat and it was taking on water. It was literally sinking. It was swamped. And we're told that storms can happen really suddenly on the Sea of Galilee, which other times is called a lake. It's actually below sea level. And there are mountains around it and big canyons. And so apparently a storm can just blow down through there all of a sudden. I haven't had the pleasure of seeing it. Some of you have. Even if you've not done much boating, you can easily imagine strong gusting winds, right? We do know about strong gusting winds. And we've been in enough rain to know what it's like when the rain is just so hard and the wind's blowing that you can't see the front of the car, and yet you're still driving down the highway as fast as you can. Right? I think that's the kind of storm that we're hearing about here. Think about being out in the middle of the lake in a wooden boat, waves crashing, the boat rocking, it's filling up with water. There's no motor. Swimming to shore is not a very good option. The scripture says they were in great danger. The event, it was not exaggerated. It was really dangerous. It was a good opportunity to drown. And Jesus' response is incredible. They woke him up. He stood up and said to the wind and the waves, Matthew and Mark record him saying something like, "Peace, be still." And he looks at his disciples. Now, where's your faith? Where's your faith? I don't know if they were more scared about the storm or about what he just did. You see? He spoke to the wind and the waves, and it went calm. And as they began to regain their composure, they said things to each other like, "Who is this?" Now, if they don't know, who knows, right? They've been living with him, traveling with him. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who, other than God, can control a storm? Can control the weather? Well, the maker of heaven and earth can control heaven and earth. He designed this world with his words, so it makes sense that he can control it with his words. God has that power. It is the power of God. So does this mean that Jesus is God? Yes, absolutely. That's blatantly what it's telling us. Jesus is God. Now, his disciples were still trying to get their head around it. As you can understand, he looks like a man. But he just spoke to the wind and the waves. They've seen him eat. They've seen him do life. And I think they're trying. And he says to them, "Who or what are you trusting?" The disciples, it says, were in fear and amazed. ESV says they were afraid and marveled. And there may be a familiar set of feelings there for you, something that you just experienced that is so powerful and yet it's frightening. Maybe like watching a tornado from a safe distance, if there is such a thing. It's just incredible. But you don't want to be in the middle of it. Or like we saw 10 days ago, a mighty flood. Now, fortunately, most of us got to see, you know, we were seeing it on television from a safe place. Uncontrollable power. And a fear of destruction. Let me ask you this, and I guess it's a rhetorical question, but I think we at least need to think about it. Were the disciples right to go to Jesus and wake him up because of the storm? Well, yes. Yes. It's the right thing to do to go to God in a storm. Absolutely. Also know that God is always alert. He's not sleeping. Jesus himself is no longer bound by a human body. On that day, he'd been doing lots of ministry. He was tired. He needed a nap. Or maybe he took a nap just to see how the disciples were going to react. I don't know. But he's not bound by human body anymore. We don't have to worry about, can we call on God, or is this the right time to call it? Go ahead. Call on the Lord. He is available always. Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. But why did he rebuke the disciples with his question, "Where's your faith?" apparently their fear was extreme. Their faith was inadequate. It was immature at that point. They had lost perspective of who was in the boat. In whom or what is your faith? Who are you trusting? Where is your faith? Could they have prayed to the Father and without waking Jesus up? Sure, you bet. But it was right to go to Jesus with the problem. Was Jesus questioning their lack of faith? Let me not ask that as a question. Jesus was questioning their lack of faith, which was revealed by their extreme fear. Do you understand? They let their fear overcome their faith. Mark's version of the story has the disciples saying, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They panicked. Their fear overcame their faith. Jesus had been telling them to listen. Listen, pay attention. And now he's asking them, "Have you been paying attention?" The disciples were tested and their faith was found to be immature, not to the point it needed to be. It was not up to speed for the work Jesus had for them to do. And they did not know it, but they were on their way across the lake to meet a man with multiple demons, and they would see Jesus cleanse the man. They were in the boat with the Creator, but they still did not realize the power that He has. Fortunately for us, Jesus was gentle with their need. He was. He did not throw them overboard into the storm. He didn't tell them, "Shut up. You know, just pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get through it. Row harder." He didn't hold Peter under till he bubbled and said, "Do you have faith yet?" He just simply reminded them, "Where's your faith?" He protected them. But he was saying to them, "Men, pay attention. Learn. Be able to stand in faith during the storms." You know that Christian life does not remove us from the storms of life, does it? It does not. In fact, following Jesus at times will take us into storms that are there to build our faith and to help other people learn faith. It's part of it. And there's a principle here that is powerful for us. It's important for our own good. It's important for our mental health and our spiritual health. And I think it's an answer to that bit that says to those who have more will be given. I think when we learn this principle, it helps us enjoy God more. Faith overcomes fear. Faith decreases fear. It overcomes fear. It works. He said, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what they think they have will be taken from them." Our faith allows us to walk through fear, to develop the ability to persevere, to stay, to keep on, to obey. Folks, this is how warriors learn to win battles. They practice. They drill. They test themselves so that they can overcome fear and persevere in the storm, in the fight. We can do this. It is God's will and His power available to us. This is what He's teaching us. We need to practice. And we practice when there are no storms. We practice when the storms are small so that we're ready for the big events. We need to discipline ourselves to do the right things and to do things right. Therefore, we pray without ceasing. Therefore, we consume God's word every day. Therefore, we obey God's word at all times. These disciplines build into a spiritual ability to go through the storms with faith instead of fear. Storms are still scary. I saw a quote this week that said, "So what if you're scared? Do it in fear. Keep on moving." We have to work through it. And I'm not talking about a humanistic push ourselves on. I'm saying God's here. His power's here. He's in the boat. We just have to go His way. Listen to my word and do it. No one can deny the power of the storm, but we need not be crushed by the fear. Are you in the boat with Jesus? I mean, are you even there? And if you're not, you need to be. Let's just get that settled today. Are you going His way? What if He does let our physical body die? Listen, if you're with Him, when that happens, you win. You win. Long before this event, God gave words to the prophet Isaiah. It was in the context of Israel being released from bondage in Babylon and going back to their home. And He told them, you're not going to have to hurry. You're not going to have to leave in haste. For the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. Isaiah 52:12. The Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. That's what it's like when we're going His way. We will go into storms. Count on it. But if we're going His way and we're listening, we're paying attention, we're learning, we're getting His word into us and we're praying to Him and we're obeying and we're worshiping, we can do it. And it may be tough. The boat, it may be rocky. But there will be experience that you never dreamed was possible. It'll be better than a movie show. So I just want to wrap up and I want to be elementary, but I don't mean it because I think you're elementary. I just want to be clear. This is how we build our faith. And you've heard this from me time and time again, and you will until you replace me. Read the Bible or listen to it every day. And go ahead and memorize those parts that help you remember who God is and how He works. Memorize it. Get it into you. Get it in your brain and in your soul. And then obey it. Consume God's word. Obey God's word. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Practice talking to God out loud. Practice talking to God quietly while you're driving. but get a quiet place and pray. Practice all kinds of praying. And those things lead to worship. Worship with music, worship without music, in your work, in your play. Give God the glory. Remember who He is and what He's done. Be amazed at His love and His mercy and His power. Marvel. Sing. Speak. Listen to the sounds of His presence. And worship. It builds our faith. It's pretty simple. It's not a complex life. Not always easy. But it's not a complex formula. Hear. Obey. Pray. Worship. It'll get us ready for the storm. Jesus had been teaching and preparing the disciples for bigger things. He tested them that day. They came up a little short on the test, but He did not give up on them. He spurred them on toward bigger things. To those who have faith, more is given. I mean, the biggest thing in this story, obviously, is the power and authority of Jesus. You really ought to see that very easily in this story. He controls the wind and the waves. And it was news to them. The second thing is how we respond to it. And that ought to be with faith. We can read the signs. We can see this. He is all powerful. He's worth my worship. He's worth my following Him, and I can trust Him even in the storms. In the next scene, and we'll get to this next Sunday, they faced a man who was crazy and dangerous and demon possessed, living in a cemetery with no clothes. And Jesus needed them to be ready. Jesus needs for us to be ready. Church, He needs for us to be ready. We need to be prepared to persevere, to win, and be faithful, even in the storms. Philippians chapter 4 tells us how to pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's do so. Let it be. Come, music team. We're going to sing.